And welcome to Underground Horror Radio on podunkradio.com and on Podbean. Don't forget Podbean. It is Justin McFatches hanging out again, because last year was so much fun, with the Halloween man himself, also manager of the Danger Cakes, and also helps run the Castle of Horror podcast, which is also pretty awesome, Mr. Drew Edwards from Austin, Texas.
Howdy, y'all, internet people.
Welcome back. Yeah, last year was a lot of fun. We spent a good amount of time talking about, I think, what was it, remakes and like Jason versus Freddy and stuff and the bands.
Yeah,
and
we really lit one up.
I tell you what, if we end up at a con together and get a table, we'll never see anybody else. Our wives will be off doing something else, and we'll just be talking to people about movies.
Well, you know, I almost did a con back in the summer in Florida, and I just couldn't get it. I couldn't get together in time.
Where was it?
But SuperCon.
Oh yeah. No, I know where that one. Okay, I didn't get to go. I haven't been to a con since February, since we had a Shock Pop Con down in Lauderdale. So I'm going to, I think, PalmCon, which is more of a collector's comic book one, September, and then I'm going to Spooky Empire Halloween weekend. So that's right.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of itching to get into it again. I miss cons, man.
I've made in the last few years, because I went through several years where I just didn't do cons very much. And I feel like that was kind of a mistake. Like, I had a lot of people start telling me that they just felt like I just kind of dropped, even though I was still doing stuff. You know, I never stopped doing stuff. But, you know, there's a certain segment of fan culture that you're not reaching if you're not at cons. And so, like, within the last year or so, I really kind of made a big effort to sort of beef up my con presence. And I've done, I guess, two or three this year so far. And I have three more already before the end of the year goes out.
And
it is the 15th anniversary of Halloween Man, so I'm kind of been jokingly calling this my 2015 con tour. And, you know, doing as much as I can, you know, get out and, you know, meet people. And, you know, there's, like I said, there's just some people you never see. And certainly, you know, the cosplay community, which is something that is just blown up
in the last four or five years.
You don't really, you know, get the face time with those people if you're not at cons.
Correct.
And, you know, that whole thing, because I love Halloween, obviously, like, I love seeing the costumes that people do. There's always been that at cons, but it wasn't like a whole, like, subculture the way it is now. And, you know, seeing what people come up with at different cons. Like, the last, I just did Texas Comic Con in San Antonio, and there are some really amazing costumes.
I saw some pictures with you, a lot of people. Every couple of minutes, I'd see a picture pop up with you taking a picture of somebody. I'm like, there you go. That's how you do it.
Well, I think my favorite thing that people have started doing is, like, mashup characters. Like, they'll do, like, a mashup of two characters. Like, there's a picture of me with a Joker, Dr. Doom mashup.
That's awesome.
And yeah, I just thought that was hysterical and awesome. You know, the melding of two uber villains, so to speak. And you started to see a lot of that. Like, there was other ones that had there's a group of women that had done a like a League of Their Own Batman villains mashup, and I love seeing that.
A League of Their Own, like the baseball movie with Tom Hanks.
Yeah.
Oh my God, that's awesome.
Tom Hanks, Gina Davis baseball movie.
But it's DC girl villains, lady villains.
DC villain. Well, no, not even just girl villains.
Oh, it's everybody.
A Penguin and a Riddler.
That's awesome.
And yeah, it was great. Like, the girl that was the Penguin, she had a baseball bat umbrella. it was pretty crazy. So yeah, seeing that stuff, like I said, because I love Halloween, you know, obviously at cons it's Halloween year round, because you see these amazing, like, the only person I did not get a picture of is there was a really amazing Predator that this guy had done. And I just, I could never catch up with that guy in time to get a picture. But, you know, he had the mask and the big beer and everything, and it was just phenomenal.
So, well, so you were there doing your the Halloween man. You had like a table set up and everything, and you're, you know, selling your comics and you know, talking to people that might not know about a Halloween man about it.
Well, some of the people were people that didn't know about it. You know, there's actually some repeat customers, thankfully. You know, people who've been following the book online or. You know, throughout the years at different cons. Yeah, you know, there's this one guy that every time I do that con in San Antonio, he buys quite a bit of my stuff, and by the time he got to my table, I had been selling so well that basically all I had left was a few books and a bunch of stickers. And he bought literally every sticker that I had left because he just loves Halloween Man that much. And that's very gratifying.
I'd say that's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I didn't even know that it was around for 15 years. It's a long time to be writing for a comic book, especially an independent comic book.
Yeah, it's either noble or insane, I guess, depending on your perspective.
I think it's cool.
Certainly not getting rich off of it.
Well, no, I don't think anybody, unless you end up in one of the, I guess, big two, DC or Marvel, is really getting rich anymore. Hell, for all we know, the actual comic book writers might not even be getting rich anymore. I think it's, right now, the movies are so huge that I think it's majority of what's happening is the movies, you know?
And, well, I think with those people, you know, what they're banking on is the royalties. And, certainly Robert Kirkman, who created the Walking Dead, he's really prospered on that becoming a multimedia thing. You could probably count the number of comic book millionaires on one hand.
Yeah, there isn't. I don't know if there's too many. Now, there's anything wrong with, you know, comic books. I think comic books are awesome. But I think nowadays it's been growing again, I think, since the 90s. In the 90s, I knew comic books were really popular again. 80s too, but mostly the 90s through now. But I think that it's one of those things that a lot of people are doing it now. Same thing with like anything you're doing. Like you said, cosplay is blown up, so it seems like a lot more people are doing cosplay now. I don't know how long you've been doing the podcast, but this year marked 10 years of actual podcasting even existing. And I only been doing it for 5, which is still pretty good considering that I didn't go to school or anything. And it's just kind of crazy how this year has been like the year of podcasting. Like everybody in the woodwork, suddenly if you go on iTunes or anywhere, somebody's doing a podcast about whatever it is. So it's kind of crazy how everything's very, I wouldn't say competitive, but a lot of people are doing the same thing. It's kind of hard to get a niche where people have to be like, hey, this guy stands out. Halloween Man's a cool idea. This is what I told you I first read about it in Gothic Beauty years ago. And I was like, what is this? And then I end up talking to you, and I'm like, oh, my God, that's so crazy. And I'm talking to the writer.
I think the thing I'm finding dismaying, it gives me a little bit of trepidation about the way the comic book industry has changed in the last few years, is it does seem like there's a lot of people who are just doing comics that are essentially movie pitches. Mm-hmm. You know, they're not actually trying to put out like a good comic book. They're just doing what amounts to like, hey, this would be a really easy idea for a movie, you know, buy the rights.
Right.
And, you know, I do Halloween, you know, I love movies, you know, the podcast that you just mentioned, Castle of Horror, it's all about movies. But when I'm doing Halloween Man, it's not because I want it. It would be awesome if it was a movie or toys or a video game. I'm not opposed to any of those things. But I'm doing the comic at the end of the day because I want to tell a story in the comic format, and I want to tell a story with these characters.
Right.
You know, if somebody were to take Halloween Man and turn it into a movie, even if it was a really true to the spirit of the comic movie, it would still no longer be my story. It would be somebody adapting my story.
Unless it was you. Unless you directed it and wrote it and did everything yourself.
but I wouldn't want to do that.
It's not your thing. You're not really a filmmaker.
It's not my thing. It's not really my desire to do that kind of thing. Right. You know, I love, as much as I love movies, you know, like this is the medium that I have chosen. And, you know, like I respect people that have that desire to go off and do all those different, you know, play in all those different sandboxes. But this is really what makes me feel whole. And, you know, movies, especially like a big budget movie, you know, it's way more made by committee. Whereas like with a comic, you can do something a lot quirkier and right. A lot more different because there's not as much money on the line and there's not, you can really kind of zero in on your niche market and make that work for you, as opposed to a kind of a movie, or at least a big budget movie, kind of has to be all things to all people in a lot of respect.
Right. Well, let me ask you this, and because you're a big movie guy, and I know you're a big comic guy, so let me ask you this then: not counting Frank Miller and the stuff that he's done for movie-wise from his own creations, along with Robert Rodriguez, because those movies are fine. Even I enjoyed The Spirit, even though it's not really the Spirit comic. I just liked it. But other than those two, if you take like mostly Marvel and not counting DC from like the 80s, obviously the Reeves and like even Michael Keaton era Batman and Reeves Superman, is it me, or is other than that now Marvel, and other than Sam Raimi's Spider-Man, because that movie and first two are actually really, really good. But other than that, why does it seem really hard for movie studios to not fuck up their characters, like the movie, I mean, the comic book characters so badly? Like the Marvel movies, Disney stuff, like Iron Man, Captain America, that whole thing, they're doing it justice. Those are all pretty faithful enough to the comics where you look at their costumes and go, that is totally Captain America, that is totally Iron Man. But then you watch like X-Men sometimes and you go, that doesn't make sense, that doesn't work, or Fantastic Four, or you know what I mean? Like, how do they keep messing up those movies so bad that it just doesn't even resemble what the comics were?
Well, I think the primary difference between, because you're basically talking about two factions of Marvel movie adaptations, which is one where they're actually made by Marvel, and so they're going to be a lot more protective of their intellectual properties and, you know, what has made these characters iconic to begin with. Whereas Fox, it seems like they are a lot more gun shy about going sort of hole on the hog with these, you know, not to make this all about Fantastic Four because it was just released, but with the more fantastical elements of things, you know, like they, or the thing, as it were.
Right.
It is really frustrating because the one thing I keep hearing about, you know, the Marvel films, like the Marvel Studios films, is that people feel like that they don't have any really great villains in the movies. And I don't really think that's fair. I do actually think they've done some, you know, Loki, and, you know, I think they did a pretty good job with the Red Skull in the Captain America movie.
Yeah.
But the two best Marvel villains are Doctor Doom and Magneto, and Fox has them, you know, right. And...
Well, Fassbender's, you know, a great Magneto, and so is Ian McKellen, I think, for different
reasons. Yeah, I do think they've done a good job with Magneto. I feel like Doom, you know, poor Doctor Doom.
They
unless
can't
we're gonna
get it
count
right.
Darth Vader... We've really never seen a good Doctor Doom on screen, which is a shame because he is such an interesting and important character as far as the development of fiction, not just in superheroes, but like fictional.
Oh yeah,
villainy. You know, there's so many characters that have been based, you know, in part on Doom, and yet, you know, I honestly think in some ways that's one of the things that's making Fox kind of gun shy. It's like, oh man, you know, we don't want people just thinking we ripped off Darth Vader, or we don't want people thinking we ripped off, you know, this movie or that movie, when they should just, you know, everybody from Darth Vader to Freddy Krueger owes a little bit to Doctor Doom. And,
right.
You know, it's kind of a shame that the very influentialness of that character seems to be what's keeping Fox from going full Doom, so to speak.
I heard that the Roger Corman version was the most faithful to the comic book. Of course, that was in the 90s. Comic book might have been a little different.
It is, but, you know...
it's Roger Corman.
The defenders of that movie... I love the Fantastic Four. Like, I can talk about the Fantastic Four, my favorite Marvel characters. There has never been a good Fantastic Four movie, and the people who defend the Roger Corman Fantastic Four... God bless them, but that is still a terrible, terrible movie.
Well, and what I think is, I told my buddies this, because I think that if Marvel can get the rights back, the Marvel Studios, obviously the comic book does, I really think don't give them their own movie, because as much as everybody knows who they are, it's the Fantastic Four. I mean, I remember from the cartoons in the 90s and the comic books, you know, hosted by Stan Lee, you know, on UPN down here in Florida. So I know who the Fantastic Four, just like I knew who Iron Man was. Put them in a movie with another team or another hero, that not side characters, but they're there, but it's not necessarily all focused on them, but they have a really, really good part in it. Like, there was some kind of invasion, and they just jump in to help out real quick, and then they have a little bit of a talk afterwards, and you know who they are. Give them something like that. Don't give them their whole movie again, because that's just, you know how that goes. But put them in there. I think that would be amazing.
I really want a good Fantastic Four movie, and I think you could do a great Fantastic Four movie. I think... visually, they are the most interesting characters Marvel has. Like, and like the strong link to Jack Kirby and his artwork, you have something that you could do that's visually on par with the first two, like the first two Tim Burton Batman films. Not that it would be visually the same, but something that visually stunning.
Yeah,
and that's the other thing that Fox seems to keep going back. I would agree with you to a point that I think that they're going to have to do a little bit of brand rehabilitation, the same way Marvel's now going back and having to build the Punisher back up, because the Punisher is also another character that has been befret with just terrible, terrible film.
I don't know. I liked Warzone. I thought Warzone was cool, and I thought Ray Stevenson looked...
Warzone was so bad.
Ray Stevenson looked like the Bradstreet drawings, for real, though. He really did. Other than that, I agree that Jigsaw was a little too Joker-ish. I will admit that. He did seem a little... But as far as the violence goes and being a Punisher, I thought that was really cool. But
I'm going to say something controversial, and this isn't me saying that it's a good film. I think the best Punisher movie is actually the Dolph Lundgren Punisher. But it's kind of that thing with the Fantastic Four movie. It's still a terrible film.
Right. It's just the better of them.
But you see, what Marvel is doing by reintroducing the character through their successful Daredevil show.
I know. That looks amazing. I can't wait. Daredevil was amazing.
Daredevil is awesome. And the Punisher is going to be, quote-unquote, the antagonist of the second season. And like I said, I think that Marvel knows they kind of have to rehabilitate that brand
right
a little bit because of what other people have done with it. And they're probably going to have to do a little bit of that with Fantastic Four. But I don't think as bad as this new one is, I don't think it's just the one thing that I've seen is now people are like, come on, the Fantastic Four deserve better than what we've been giving. So, you know, all it really is really going to take is finding a filmmaker with an affinity for the material or, you know, has a good take on it, you know, whereas it just seems like every time they've tried to do this, there's just been this appalling lack of vision of what you could do. Like particularly the comics from the 1960s of the Fantastic Four, that's a really crazy, weird, awesome universe waiting to unfold, and nobody's really seeming to want to dig into the cinematic possibilities of that. It's since I know this is a horror podcast, and
we mix it up all the time.
I did just watch the trailer for Victor Frankenstein, Fox's stab at Frankenstein, and you know, I
Is that the one with Professor X? What's his name?
The young guy. James McAvoy is Frankenstein and
Fassbender's the monster.
Harry Potter. Daniel Radcliffe is a alarmingly good looking Igor. And
did you see horns?
What?
Did you see Horns?
I did see Horns. Horns was good.
Yeah, Horns is awesome.
some pretty bad special effects, but a good movie.
Right. But yeah, Radcliffe.
I like Radcliffe. I hope he continues to have a good career as an adult, because Lord knows so many child actors
have
a hard time making that transition. But I don't know. I want the Frankenstein movie to be good. It looks a little it looks a little bit too CG laden. Like, the monster himself is a CG effect, which is like,
it's
really,
not Van Helsing,
you know?
Bad, is it?
What now?
It's not Van Helsing bad, is it?
Well, no, Van Helsing even at least had a guy in a suit.
That's true.
Like, they had a guy made up as the Frankenstein monster. This movie doesn't even look like it. I could be wrong. You know, they only have like some short flashes of the monster in the trailer, but he sure looks CG to me. And I just think that's lazy, because I mean, the Karloff Frankenstein monster makeup, which is now like 75, 80 years old at this point, still holds up. Like, there is, like you see that Frankenstein everywhere. He looks great. You know, there's no reason why these characters still can't be done in a traditional way and still be visually stunning.
Did you like Dracula Untold? I did. I thought it was a cool movie, per se. It was a different take on Dracula. But I like Luke Evans, too. That's my other thing. I like Luke Evans, so. What'd you think?
I'm writing for a new horror website that's posed to a launch called Horror Scene, and Dracula Untold is one of the things that I have reviewed for the site, so I can't really go full disclosure on what I thought about that film, but needless to say, I will give you my abridged thoughts on it.
Okay.
That at no point felt like a Dracula movie to me.
Okay, I gotcha.
Like, that is my big issue with that film. Evans was fine as the character that he was playing, but he felt more like Aragorn from Lord of the Rings than Dracula.
Or the elf, the arrow guy he was in the Hobbit, like, pre-trilogy.
Yeah.
Which I like that, too, but I like Luke Evans. I thought it was all right. I mean, it was a fun movie, and I didn't think of it as a Dracula movie either, in a sense where I was just like, all right, it's a fun, edited-down RPG adventure, and I'm okay with that.
Well, it would have been if it had been like, honestly, Evans would be, you know, backtracking a little bit. Evans would be, based off of that movie, Evans would be a pretty good Dr. Doom.
You know what? I could probably see that. Yeah. If they, all they need to really do is get him in the armor too. Armor, man. Get him in the damn armor. It's like, it's like having Iron Man. Like, oh, I'm made of circuits. Bullshit. You're Iron Man. You have a suit. Like, Marvel didn't go that route. They're like, no, it's a dude in a suit. It's like, hello, Dr. Doom knows magic, and he's in a suit. Doesn't shoot electricity, and he doesn't do whatever he did in the new movie, because I haven't seen it yet.
In the new movie, he's kind of got the scanner superpower. He, like, blows people's heads up with his mind.
Well, that is cool. That's still not Dr.
Doom. It's cool. It's not something, Dr. Doom should be doing. And honestly, Dr. Doom in the movie is in the movie for what feels like 5 minutes.
Oh, jeez. I heard that
biggest,
it was
the biggest fault, and then I swear I will stop talking about Fantastic Four. But we opened up this can, and the biggest fault with the Fantastic Four movie, more than any of the stuff that everybody is blogging about, is you have a movie that is, you know, essentially a superhero team movie with some of the strongest interpersonal relationships in the history of comics, and it's a movie where the 4 to 5 main characters barely interact with each other.
I heard about that. Yeah, that doesn't.
Yeah,
it's, you know, those other ones they made with the FX crew between Julian McMahon and Michael Chiklis. I mean, I hate to say it, but that seemed more like a Fantastic Four movie. They at least interacted.
Those are better than this. And Michael Chiklis, honestly, I really like Michael Chiklis as the thing.
I did
thought
too.
He was great.
and Chris Evans.
Honestly, this new movie made me go, man, Jessica Alba, not so bad.
Right, and Chris Evans was a good Human Torch, and when he became Cap, I was a little skeptical at first, because I'm thinking, this guy usually plays like a smart-ass, kind of swarmy kind of guy.
Douchey,
yeah,
douchey, kind of
and so
guy,
I don't know how he's going to be when Captain America is pretty damn pure, and he's a very honest, a good guy, but he did it. I mean, he does a great job at Captain America, I have to say.
Oh, like, I think the trick to that movie is you never saw him as you know, buff Captain America for like the first 20,
right.
30 minutes.
And
of
I
that
think
movie.
It made you more
so
believable.
By the time that he's superheroed out, like, you're not thinking about the Human Torch.
Exactly. So they did a good job with that.
Yeah. So, you know, the other things that, and it's interesting, you know, like we're talking about this now. The thing that I have found very interesting about kind of getting back into con culture is the crossover fandom that, you know, people don't realize. You know, people are all, you go on Facebook and people are like, oh, well, I'm a horror nerd. I'm a sci-fi nerd. I'm a comic nerd.
Right.
I'm a Trekkie. I'm a Star Wars. When you get to actually down on like the ground floors or actually talking face to face, most people are kind of like, a little of everything, you
right.
know, and when you get them, like, even, you know, even myself, like, if you were to like ask me, like, oh, my first thing is like, oh, I'm a horror movie nerd. I love horror movies. But then I was like, but I can talk a good game about like comics from like the 1960s. I love like golden age science fiction films, like Forbidden Planet and them. So like, really, you know, people are a lot more diverse in their tastes within fan culture, then we kind of even give ourselves credit for, if that makes sense.
Yeah. No, I know what you mean. I've been to a couple different cons, and my favorite cons still are horror cons, because that's like the top list. Besides punk rock, horror stuff is like my thing. I love comic books. I used to be a big Spider-Man collector. I still love comic books. I can tell you who's who, the games, the movies, all that. TV shows, Arrow, all that stuff is great. But I'm a big horror fan. I mean, Jaws is the number one movie on my list of all time. But you look at me and you go, oh, no, you don't look like that kind of guy. Or you don't look like someone that's into punk rock. And I'm very much into punk rock. And it's just kind of funny, because I go to horror cons, because that for me is like the greatest thing. Because you get all like the misfits in there. Not the band, but literally people. But you get them in there and, you know, someone has a Jason shirt on. You just kind of nod to them. And they're like, yeah, I know what you mean. That's cool, bro. And I'm like, yeah, you know. But you go to a comic book convention, which I've been to like MegaCon, which is a huge one. I felt overwhelmed just because there were so many people in there, and it wasn't at a hotel, which is my first con experience with Spooky Empire. So I'm used to hotels by the time I got to MegaCon like a couple of years ago. But I mean, there's like 85 Deadpool, 75 Spider-Man. I was counting, you know, I had the robot suit. It was cool. It's a little bit different though. But I'm starting to notice that a lot more people are kind of, and not that there's any special group is better than the other or anything like that. Just noticing people are kind of like how, you know, you write for a comic, but you do a horror podcast and you manage a band. It's like I do a metal podcast, but I'm not a metal guy, but I also do a punk rock one, a horror one, and I do one that I just hang out with my friends and talk about all kinds of stuff. People are very diverse now, I think. And you really don't know on Facebook, because everybody's fighting half the time, you know, about stuff.
Yeah. Well, you know, the other thing, you know, from my perspective, you know, the horror fans, when I'm at, you know, comic book conventions, like, strictly speaking, for like comic book conventions or like anime conventions, because I go to a lot of those, I notice, you know, it helps me zero in. Like, if somebody has like a Reanimator shirt,
yes,
or, you know, like a Frankenstein shirt, or, you know, like a, you know, Martin, you know, or even something as random as like a Mars Attacks shirt.
Nice.
Like, I, you know, it helps me zero in on you and go, okay, come over here. You know, you obviously like superheroes, but you also like this kind of stuff. You might like this comic book,
which is,
you know,
a combination.
Like, this seems like this would be up your alley. So, you know, I will say this: like, when I'm at horror conventions, I kind of have to do the reverse of that. Like, look for the guy in the Captain America shirt, at the horror convention, because, you know, a lot of people who like horror movies don't necessarily like to read comic books, but there are a lot of people, as I just said, who do.
Right.
So it really is, you know, you got to be, you know, kind of be savvy when you're down there on the like I said, the sort of the front lines of fan culture, the convention. I do love horror cons. Don't get me wrong. Like I'm doing two of them. I'm doing MonsterCon in San Antonio, the 26th and the 28th, and then I'm doing the Colorado Horror Convention and Halloween Film Festival in Denver, and that's Halloween weekend, the 30th, the 31st, and November 1st.
Are you excited? And, are you excited that? Because I don't know if you know this or not, but besides Halloween being on a Saturday, it's also freaking daylight savings time. The same night.
I did not know.
So we get an extra hour of Halloween. I am so stoked. And I'm going to be at a con all weekend just like you. And that's the first time that I've actually been to a con on Halloween. Usually Spooky's the week before. So my mind's completely blown. I'm sure you're like probably stoked as all, you know, hell right now too.
Oh, believe it or not, this is the first time I've been at a con on Halloween.
Oh, man, it's going to be so good. makes me happy.
I bet it's going to be crazy. My two of my podcasts, co-hosts for Castle of Horror live in Denver, so
we're going
to see if they'll let us do a live podcast from the con.
That'd be awesome.
Oh, it would be great. And I haven't actually seen them in person in about a couple of, it's funny because I talk to them every week, but like I haven't actually seen them in person in like a couple of years,
right?
Which is really weird to think about, but.
That's cool, though.
You know, it is interesting. You know, the way relationships unfold these days, and the era of information and the internet. But you know, that's sort of the way my comic book is run too. You know, I have an editor that's in England, and then my art director's in Spain, and you know, I work with artists from, you know, Brazil and Italy, and I've worked with people in Australia, and it's just, that's the way, you know, things are now. That's become the norm, you know, and here we are talking, and you're in Florida and I'm in Texas, and
yeah.
You know, that's not as strong of a difference as some of the, you know, places that we are talking about, but still, you know, that's a distance.
No, that makes sense. People are talking. Back in the day, we were amazed about AOL and the chat room and all that stuff. And, oh, my God, I'm talking to somebody in another country. Ooh. Now it just seems so common that you can do it on your phone through Facebook Messenger. It's like you don't really think about it as much. It's like, oh, wow. But I do get excited every now and then when I do. I get a couple of these interviews I do from people from England. We actually have a very strong presence over in England and Ireland for this particular show. I don't know why. I guess a lot of people over there love horror, which, hey, that makes me happy.
Well, that's you know, like the Europe and in England especially is the birthplace of Gothic literature, which is like the foundation of the modern horror genre, you know, and most horror films even. So it doesn't really surprise me at all.
So anything coming out soon that you're horror-wise? I know Sinister 2 is in a couple, I think next week or this week. Anything
particular? I actually hated Sinister.
I
very famously tore it a new asshole on Castle of Horror. Which, if you want to hear me do that, go download the episode.
Yes.
I'm told it's very entertaining. I'm actually most excited because I'm a, you know, I'm kind of a class sponsor guy in my heart of hearts. I'm really excited about finally getting to watch the second season of Penny Dreadful because I really liked.
I heard that was good.
The first two. Oh, it's awesome. You know, you want to talk about somebody doing these particular characters right? Like this, like Universal doesn't need to do their shared monster universe because it already exists on this show.
Nice.
Like they don't. And I guarantee you, nothing they do will be as good as what Penny Dreadful is. Penny Dreadful, they've just done a phenomenal job. It instantly skyrocketed over every other show I've been watching as my favorite new show.
Wow.
It's just, yeah, I watched I literally watched the first season in less than 24 hours. Like, I just sat there and I watched the whole thing episode after episode. And I can't wait to get the second season because I love it. And, you know, like, I'm a werewolf nut, so, like, the second season's more about, has more to do with werewolves than the first season.
Cool.
So I'm super excited to get into that. So I would say out of, like, live action genre stuff, that's probably the thing I'm most excited about. You know, this out of stuff that I've recently watched, you know, I'm a big fan of, like, Taking Chances on Netflix, and I happened upon Wormwood.
Oh, I heard about that.
On Netflix, and that's an Australian zombie movie. And it's been described as Mad Max meets Dawn of the Dead, and I think that's a fair comparison, especially with its, you know, fetishization of high-powered automobiles.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's a bit of an oversimplification in a lot of ways, but it's a funny, quirky, different take on zombies. Like, the zombies have combustible blood in this, so they use zombies to power their anti-zombie tank truck that they drive around
in.
That's
awesome.
And there's also a character that has psychic control over zombies in it. So it's
original.
It's a very different. I mean, it's got all the stuff you want from a zombie movie. You know, it's got zombies eating people and people shooting zombies in the head and all that stuff. But it's got this other stuff that makes it different. You know, including a sinister mad scientist who listens to disco while torturing people.
What?
Yeah.
That sounds awesome. But I have to now I'm going to have to go check it out.
Wormwood is definitely out of the stuff I've watched recently, is definitely the best. You know, the beauty of the horror genre, though, is there's always stuff. As many horror films as you have watched over the years, probably always something that you've missed. You know, like, there's just thousands of. You know, we're looking at, you know, we're staring down like almost 100 years of horror films being made. So, like, there's always something you can dig up if you don't limit yourself to just stuff that's coming out, because, I mean, that's fine, and, you know, that tons of people do that, and that's okay, but, like, you know, I always tell people that it's good to go back and, like, check out stuff that, you know, 20, 30, even, you know, 50 or 60 years old films, and, you know, find stuff that you may respond to, but you've somehow overlooked at your, like, local video store or online or things like that, because there's certainly a lot of interesting and unloved horror flicks that have come out over the years.
All right, since you're a big werewolf guy, and I think we talked about that before too, I'm going to say something to you, and I want to know if you've seen it and what you think, because you give me responses that I'm not actually used to. Like the whole Dracula thing was good, and Sinister. Most people are like, "Oh, I like that movie." You're straight out like, "No." So I'm going to give you an independent classic. I call it a classic that came out last year from Canada, that is a werewolf and a cop, and that is Wolf Cop. Have you seen Wolf Cop?
I have seen Wolf Cop. I liked it.
Good.
I didn't love it. I thought the werewolf makeup was great. Like, I that goes. Oh, you know, actually having a guy in werewolf makeup goes a long way for me, because, you know, as I was saying earlier, these days it seems like the lazy impulse is to do everything CG. But I will say this, my favorite recent werewolf movie is actually a movie called Late Phases.
I've seen that too. I was about to say that. Me and the wife saw that. Wolf Cop's a little bit different for me because I actually interviewed the director twice, and I saw a screening finally at a con, and I was so excited, and I bought it on DVD when it came out.
Wolf Cop is one of those things, like, if you were to give me, like, a, you know, even though I didn't seem to respond to it the way a lot of people did, if somebody were to give me, like, a short list of people to do a Halloween Man movie, like, those guys and the guys who did Wormwood would probably be
on that list.
On the list, but I gotta say, I really did love Late Phases.
It was good.
You know, I can tell people it's Gran Torino with a werewolf.
It was, and, though.
Yeah, and I love movies with, like, cynical older people in them. I don't know, for some reason, that just, like bitter elderly characters, for some reason, just always hit my joy spot for some reason. I don't know why. So seeing a blind, angry old war vet capping werewolves just made me, you know, that made my day.
Yeah, it was, I came home and Nicole had it on, and I'm like, oh, is this that werewolf movie? She's like, yeah. And I'm like, let me rewind it. And I watched it, and I'm like, damn, this is actually really, really good.
Yeah.
It had Lance Guest in it, who you wouldn't recognize now anyway. He's a long way from the last Starfighter, but I like Lance Guest. And Tom Noonan was in it. Tom Noonan's awesome. So
yeah.
I thought it was a really, really good movie too, and I like that. I like movies that have, like, weird neighborhoods or gated communities, kind of like The Burbs and any of those type of things where you live in a place and there's a lot of weird stuff going on and nobody really wants to talk about it, you know. And he was a blind guy, but at the same time he'll kick your ass like in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
So I enjoyed that one too.
It's nice that we've actually had like two or three werewolf movies come out in the last year or so that have actually been pretty decent, because you know, we kind of hit like a dry spell werewolf wise, like everything was zombie this and vampire that,
or Underworld.
In Underworld the werewolves are just kind of guest stars.
Yeah. Well, the third one was a little bit better with the prequel, which I like, because I like Michael Sheen, too. But not that Twilight stuff that was happening where, okay, werewolves are there, but it's not really movie-wise, but they're screen-wise, they've been around a lot. Like, if TV-wise, like Vampire Diaries, there's a show called Bitten that's based on some books that actually kind of like Bitten. It's kind of like a Buffy-ish, sort of.
Yeah. Both versions of Being Human.
Yep.
There's definitely been stuff with werewolves in it, but not like as like front and center
right
focus as Wolf Cop or Late Phases.
Since like Ginger Snaps in like the early 2000s.
Yeah, Ginger Snaps, and that's a great series of films. Yeah. You know, But yeah, I can't really think of anything. You know, werewolves are kind of seem to be like guest stars in vampire stories a lot.
Yeah.
You know, that's fine. You know, but I only saw the first Twilight. I didn't bother reading the rest of it. So I didn't actually get to see the ones that actually put a lot of focus on the werewolves.
If you want to,
I knew they were CG. So I was like, well, I really didn't like the first movie, and I'm not gonna like.
No.
The werewolves in this anyway because they're CG. So.
Well, if you want to watch the Twilight movies and have a really good time doing it, you could either watch the whole thing and have like riff tracks on from the guys from Mystery Science Theater, which is amazing because those guys are always great, or go on the YouTube and watch CinemaSins, and the guy did them all, and he basically just counts like the crap that happens in these movies, and it's really, really funny. And I'm like, oh, I could sit through this now. My wife likes those movies and some of the books, but
I don't really begrudge people for enjoying it. You know, I'm not the sort of people that, like, I just always kind of come around to, like, well, this was not made for me.
Right.
You know.
Well, I make fun of the movie, not the people that like it. I don't care if they like it. I just make fun of the movie itself because it's like, it was written kind of bad.
I thought they were cheesy.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, like, so is a lot of other things. So, you know, it's... You know, technically, every Friday the 13th movie is kind of cheesy, and I love those.
Oh,
but
yeah.
Like, it's a different kind of cheese.
So, let me get to real quick. Now, you just did the episode last night, and it's on... I saw it on Facebook. What's the actual website for the Castle of Horror? It's
You'd want to look it up on Stitcher or iTunes.
Okay.
As far as like an actual website, the Facebook is what we have is close.
Okay. You just did They Live in memory of Roddy Piper, who just passed away not too long ago, who was 60 years, is not very old either. I mean, he was young.
No.
And Roddy Piper, besides just being an awesome character in the wrestling ring, was in a lot of They Live is like the biggest movie. And then, of course, Hell Comes to Frogtown, which is pretty bad, but it's still awesome because it's Roddy Piper. You guys did a nice tribute to that. So, I mean, I miss him already. I saw him last year at Mayhem at Spooky Empire, like last year. And he was, I mean, I didn't get a chance to talk to him, but he was just hanging out with people and stuff at his table. And he was like, I heard him talking and stuff. He's awesome. And it's just kind of sad.
The funny thing, we were talking about this just last night on on Castle Horror, is a lot of wrestlers have had, you know, taken a stab at having an acting career. And, you know, obviously, like, The Rock has probably been the most successful, you know, but, like, even, like, Hulk Hogan has, like, a bunch of crappy movies that he's been in. You know, to have something like They Live as part of your legacy, which is a classic, in my opinion, and a movie that is going to continue to be part of our discussion, because a lot of the issues that were in that film back in the 80s are still extremely relevant. No. You know, the issue of police brutality, the issue of, like, racial injustice, economic injustice. You know, all those things that are in They Live are still extraordinarily relevant. And for him to have been in a film like that, you know, as opposed to, like, doing, like, Suburban Commando, like what Hulk Hogan did.
Right.
You know, it really speaks a lot to Roddy Piper's character as a person, is that that's the project that he was in. You know, he could have done just, like, Hell Comes to Frogtown is a B movie, and, you know, that's
fun
another
to watch.
Movie he did. But They Live is an extremely cerebral film, and I think that actually says a lot about Roddy Piper as a person.
It's a Carpenter classic. I mean, it's you watch it and you go, you know, that's a Carpenter movie. The Thing was on last night on Sci-Fi, and you just know The Thing. It's like the music. You know, it's a Carpenter movie. He could have had Kurt Russell star in it, which that would have been a whole different movie, and I would have watched that too. Kurt Russell and The Thing, I mean, and They Live would have been, like, I don't know what kind of movie it would have been, but it would have been even crazier than the regular version.
It would have been a slightly different character.
Yeah.
You know, one of the things that we talked about is, you know, Roddy Piper doesn't have, like, a leading man kind of look to him, even though he's in great shape.
Right.
He, you know, he's got scars on his face. You know, he's
a drifter.
Chipmunk cheeked, you know, he doesn't look like Kurt Russell definitely has more of a leading man kind of look. Like, I think Kurt Russell would have been great in They Live. I mean, I'm not saying that
that would have been a whole different movie, though.
Yeah, it would have been a different character for sure.
But the fight scene, I mean, that's one of the most iconic, if not the iconic, not talking about super editing stuff like they do now, like Matrix. I'm talking about just a straight up fist fight for, like, what was it, like 10 minutes? Something like that. It was a long fist fight over glasses. Put on the glasses. Do it now.
Yeah.
But it was great. It's a great movie. And Carpenter is Carpenter. I mean, come on, it's John Carpenter. And
John Carpenter is one of my all-time favorite directors. I love his. I even love Vampires, which is a movie that
I like that one too. Ghost of Mars, not so much, but I like Vampires a lot.
You know, I kind of got a soft spot for Ghost of Mars too, even though I acknowledge it's not that great.
Was it Ice Cube? Did he have it for Ice Cube?
Well, you know, we could. Yeah, sure. We'll say it's Ice Cube to keep it timely.
There you go.
Get our Straight Outta Compton plug in there too.
Might as well. I liked Vampires, and I like I miss, you know, Roddy Piper. Whenever he showed up on Raw, on wrestling, and WWE again, and, you know, he battled cancer and he won. I mean, that's huge. He just, you know, him first there was Dusty, and then now, you know, and now Roddy. It's like too many good old Hall of Famers are passing away. It sucks.
Well, and Hulk Hogan might as well be dead.
Oh, yeah. No, Hulk Hogan done fucked up bad. Hulk Hogan's been pretty much Benoit at this point. Like, they erased him. You know, other
he's
than
out
that,
of continuity.
Yeah, it's like, who? But, all right, so one more thing I want to, well, we got more time, but I wanted to ask you, I don't know how, you said you had stuff, but, so Halloween night, besides doing cons, a certain new TV show is coming out that people have been wanting for at least, well over 20 years. We got a nice little remake, reboot, slash sequel about 2 years ago, but now it's official. We're going to get Ash versus Evil Dead. And what was your thoughts on that?
I think that that was the best Comic-Con trailer. I was so...
Goosebumps.
Concerned when they initially announced that, because I was just like, I don't know, maybe they've finally waited too long. Not that I ever doubted Raimi, because right. I feel like Drag Me to Hell is actually kind of an underrated flick.
I liked it
in
too.
A lot of ways. It does really seem like they're doing it. The humor is still there, and the in-your-face-ness is still there. And, you know, like, I do hope that, as much as I love Army of Darkness, like, I feel like it's a bit cartoonish. I do hope that they dial it kind of back to Evil Dead 2, so Ash has a little bit more humanity to go with some of the blowhardness.
Right.
You know, I mean, don't get me wrong, I love Ash and Army of Darkness too, but in my heart of hearts, I love Evil Dead 2 the most.
Right. Which, we just saw that about 2 months ago in the theaters for a night screening that we were we're doing it with a local group that's called Morbid Movies in Palm Beach County Grindhouse. They just did Texas Chainsaw like 2 weeks ago, the original. On the big screen. But yeah, Evil Dead 2 in the big screen was amazing. I was like, holy hell, I have never seen it like that. And I own it on Blu-ray, and it was so nice. I was so happy.
It's such a great movie. And, you know, it's funny, like, you look at, like, because we did all the Evil Dead films last summer.
Yeah, it was last summer.
On Capital Horror. And it's funny how much Ash changes over
the three movies.
Yeah, and it's like he by the time he's in Army of Darkness, he's essentially William Shatner, or more appropriately, he's Zap Brannigan from Futurama. I always kind of think it's because by the time Army of Darkness comes around, he's just gone full on insane.
Yeah, I mean, Evil Dead 2, he was laughing with furniture, so you knew something was wrong going on in there. You know.
I am really, plus it's got the TV show has Lucy Lawless in it.
Yes, and, which is awesome.
Gotta love Xena. So
I hear they want to reboot that now. Xena, they're trying to talk about rebooting Xena, and I don't care what anybody says. Lucy Lawless looks damn good for her age. And
yeah, they might as well just have her again.
Yeah, I mean, think she'd be great.
She may be too busy with the Evil Dead TV show.
Well, that's already filmed. It's like 10 episodes and they're half an hour each, so it's already done. They already wrapped that up. So it's airing on Halloween night on Stars, which I don't have, so I have to get Stars. But I'm excited. I think they might tone down the silliness a little bit. I think no matter what, they're still going to torture Ash because Bruce wants that, and Sam loves that.
Well, I mean, they have to have that. It's the tradition of the. Evil. And you know, I was like, this feels. I thought the remake was all right, or reboot, or whatever the hell you want to call it.
Right, I like
because
it.
Because of the presence of Bruce Campbell, this feels more like Evil Dead.
Right. It I think if this does well. Sam announced at Comic-Con that they would love to do like an Evil Dead with Mia and Ash, and I'm like, oh yes, bring it on, you know? Because
I have very little doubt in my mind that the show is going to be successful.
Oh no, it's all fan driven.
People have been hungry for this.
Bruce has said we're only doing this because everybody kept bugging us about this, you know? Because you know Bruce has been cool. Bruce has done other stuff, obviously, like Burn Notice, where he played more of kind of a straight guy, and. He, no matter everywhere they go, when are you going to make another Evil Dead? So they gave him the reboot, and that wasn't enough. So they said, all right, you want it. We're going to give it to you, but we're not going to make a movie. We're going to do a show and see how that goes.
This is better because it's more.
Yeah, you can cram more stuff in a 10-episode, half-an-hour show than you would in an hour-and-a-half movie, which you don't want a super long runtime in a horror flick anyway. Comic book movies are one thing, but horror flicks... You know, get to the damn point, get to the killing, get the good story in there, if there is one, depending on the type of movie it is. If it's a Jason movie, probably not a lot of story. That's okay. But, you know,
The thing is TV really has become where all the cool stuff happens in anyway. Like, I firmly, you know, you look at stuff like, Game of Thrones and Boardwalk Empire, and you know,
I love Boardwalk.
But even something like Mad Men, you know, like all the best stuff is done on TV now. And
I
think this is a smart way to go.
Arrow is great. The Flash, I like that whole first season of The Flash. So
I can't wait to see The Flash. I've heard a lot of good things.
And then now they're already going to make another of the same company. You know, I don't know why another company is doing Supergirl. I'm like, listen, you need to give it to the CW, because so far after Smallville, they've really straightened up their stuff and know what they're doing. But they're doing Legends of Tomorrow, which is like Captain Cold, White Canary, and a bunch of other people from both the shows. And I'm like, oh, and there's Vandal Savage and they're time traveling. And I'm like, oh, God, it's a comic book TV show. Yes. You know? So I'm excited. I hope that goes well. But I know so far I've seen Flash is great, and last season Arrow is pretty good. I think now that he's actually going to become more Green Arrow and less Batman-ish, I guess, it'll be a little bit better, I think.
That was my ongoing complaint about Arrow, is that it seemed very much like somebody was trying to do a Batman show with Green Arrow. And, you know, I like Green Arrow as a character enough to where I would be just fine watching, you know,
yeah,
Green Arrow.
I think they're going to light it up, so.
Yeah. Well, if you don't mind, I'd like to get a few plugs in.
Plug away, my friend. Plug away.
All right. First off, those of you who are into digital comics, go to Comixology, search Halloween Man. We have now 3 specials and 10 issues of an ongoing series. Prices range from 99 cents to $1.99. Some of those issues are actually like even 80 pages long, so you're getting a lot of bang for your buck. Please check out Halloween Man. Tell us what you think. Let us know what you think. If you want analog, go to Indie Planet. Look up Halloween Man. We have comics and paperbacks for sale on there. On the Danger Cakes front, I will get in a plug for Danger Cakes. Go to YouTube, search Danger Cakes, Run Around Girl. Check out their first music video. They also have a new CD out. That's Quarter Life Crisis. You can get that on CD Baby.
All right, there we go. And Castle Horror is on, what is that, weekly or monthly?
Yeah, Castle Horror is weekly. It's on iTunes and Stitcher. We just did a Christopher Lee retrospective, as we just were talking about. We just did They Live. And we're about to go into a found footage retrospective. And then for the month of October, we're going to do all 4 Scream movies.
Awesome.
So a lot of cool stuff coming up with that.
There we go. Drew Edwards, the man who does many, many things. Yeah, definitely check out the Danger Kicks. Of course, you can listen to that on Underground Horror Radio and Not For Air, all on Podunk Radio as well. Also, I found out the last album was on Spotify, so congratulations on that. That's awesome.
Yeah, they're kind of taking a slow burn approach with Spotify. Mm-hmm. Because economically, you know, it's great for promotion, but
right,
bands don't actually make that much money off of Spotify.
Agreed.
So Quarter Life Crisis is not going to be on Spotify for at least a year. But you can listen to Dessert First on Spotify if you want to get your Danger Cakes on.
There you go. And then you said the CD, the new one, Quarter Life Crisis, is on CD Baby?
It's on CD Baby.
There we go. Go get that.
The video for Runaround Girl is on YouTube. Just search Danger Cakes Runaround Girl.
Yep, or check out Not For Air. I posted that earlier, so that's out there. Definitely check that out.
Yeah, there you go. That works, too.
Awesome stuff.
Thank you for posting that.
Oh, of course, dude. Awesome stuff. Great talking to you. Everybody, please check out Halloween Man. And don't forget that if you live in the areas that the conventions are going on, I'm sure he'll let you know more on Facebook, on his pages and stuff. Go see him and buy his stuff at the cons, too.
Yeah, that's A-Fest in Dallas. That's going to be Labor Day weekend. Then MonsterCon in San Antonio. That's the 26th and the 27th. And the Colorado HorrorCon and Halloween Film Festival. Halloween weekend in Denver, Colorado. Please come by and say howdy.
Yeah, come say hi and howdy and awesome. And Drew Edwards, you're the best. Thanks again. Everybody, thank you for listening to Underground Horror Radio with Drew Edwards and me, Justin McPatches.